Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
You know, the Bible says that we overcome by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. You know, and sometimes we know scriptures, we talk about scriptures, we rehearse, we quote, you know, but brothers and sisters, we have to have a testimony. People say, I have a testimony, something good came my way. I got a petition that I've been praying for, you know, and it came my way, and I'd like to testify. You know, that's good, and should be something on a daily basis with each of us. We should have something to testify about. You know, really, I was trying to follow the Lord this week. You know, I didn't make any major mistakes or anything, you know, that's a testimony. And you know, but brothers and sisters, if we're watching and looking, we can see, we can find the reason to testify the Lord. And if we have to muster up a testimony, we're not really where we need to be, are we? So oftentimes, we look to understand the things of the spirit world by what we see and what appears. The character of a man is contrary to the character of God. The attributes of man are totally opposite of the attributes of God. So we always talk about these two minds, these two worlds, you know, a spirit of light and a spirit of darkness, or the human spirit and the Christ spirit, or the inner man, the outer man, and where we say the flesh and the spirit. And we're always continually speaking about these things, but it's something that if we wasn't speaking about it, it's still something that's taking place on an everyday basis in every one of our lives. You know, we've all heard, you know, different little stories and little things of, you know, allegories and things to make us think about it. We've heard about the Indian chief. You know, had a dream, and he said that, you know, there was a black dog and a white dog, and sometimes the black dog would be whipping the white dog, or wolf, whatever they were saying, and another time the black dog would whoop and the white dog would whoop. And he said it was the one I was feeding. And, you know, we hear these little stories and we think, yeah, you know, praise God, and, you know, I understand that. There's things that we have to apply in our understanding. You know, I was commending Brother Emmanuel's wife. You know, and we can get fleshly. You know, we can get so contributed over to the flesh and the form and all those kind of things. But I was commending her, not so much for the diet, but it was the consistency that she has applied in her life here in the last few months. Everybody diets, you know, we get on a case to do better. So I'm going to do a little diet here and a little diet here and a little diet there. And a lot of times you don't see the results. And the results aren't there because of consistency. And the thing is I like praising when honor's due, and from somebody that puts their flesh under a consistent discipline like she has done. You know, the sister's lost 60 pounds. She would have never dreamed that, you know, she was carrying that much weight. But see, we get looking in the mirror and we forget what matter of man we really are. Now, there's spiritual implications here, brothers and sisters. You could think, well, I'm telling you, there is as much, if not more, spiritual growth in seeing the consistency of conquering your flesh. And you say, well, I think people could go on diets and lose hundreds of pounds and not be spiritual. Well, I understand that. You know, the wicked live long and the righteous die young. There's no reasoning under the sun. But still, I'm telling you that when you see something happening in a physical form in somebody's life, there's something happening in a spiritual realm. You know, these things are patterns. We see the unseen things of the invisible world manifesting in what we see. Now, we talk about those things when we want to apply them in our life, but they could be applied all the time. And we start watching things through allegories. We watch things through these kind of things and see what is happening. And again, it's what commending was, yes, physically for health, physically for testimony. You know, spiritually speaking, it helps your testimony. It makes you feel better about yourself. Now, I know that we're always talking about conquering ourselves, brothers and sisters, and we don't want to do these things that, you know, for we can project ourselves, but there's sometimes that for testimony's sake in our physical appearance could hurt our testimony. You know, this is why we say women should wear proper clothing, men alike, you know, because we want to project something. But again, I'm speaking in the perspective of the consistency. It's not something that we can say, well, I'm going to do today. And then one of the biggest problems, I'm not going to go into dietitian stuff right now, but one of the biggest problems with people, and I'm looking at the pattern of spiritual walk. But see, a lot of people think, well, I've done pretty good. You know, I went done a church job, or I went out and worked at the church, or hey, I prayed last night, you know, and I really got down on my knees for a little bit of while, and this and that, and then you go on about your business. See, that's not, you're not doing yourself any good. Again, consistency. Parents in raising children, the biggest problem why you see fathers frustrated, why you see mothers frustrated when you're yanking them up and screaming and yelling at their kids is because there's a lack of consistency. When you tell a kid and you scream and you yell at them and yank them, reprove them and rebuke them, and then they get by with it 15 other times and then you do it again, see, there's no consistency and you won't see the results within the child. But if you stay consistent with it without the yelling and the hollering, say, look, son, this isn't going to be tolerated. And then you do this consistently, then pretty soon they find out, hey, this isn't going to work, and they make the changes. And again, if we apply it to a diet, consistency. You know, well, hey, I've done pretty good this week. You know, I kept my carbs, or I kept my calories, or I done this and that, you know, and then you go out and have a good time this week and see no consistency, and it doesn't work that way, and it won't. But you stay with it. And a lot of times people don't stay with things long enough. But see, I'm speaking again about the things of God. You see, the thing is that a born-again experience isn't a one-time thing. You know, I went in and, hey, I'm born again, now I got the Spirit, and you just go back the way you are. You see, it's a change of a life. It is absolutely a change of a life. And let's apply it. You know, I can't apply maybe to you as well as you can to you in your life. Let's talk about a job. Let's talk about an employee and an employer. So the employee shows up to work every day on time for 4 days, but then he's late the fifth day. And then he shows up for 3 more days, then he's late. You understand what I'm saying? And a lack of consistency could cause the man to lose his job. Is that right? Because he's not consistent. But you see a man that's always on time, always on time, always on time. Then you see a consistency, and it builds its strength. Is this correct? Let's look at things as an employee-employer relationship. It builds a strength. It builds a individual. He says, hey, I can rely on this man. This man is consistent. He's on time. This and that. And there's a lot that could be done. Because of his consistency of showing up on time, they might overlook some of the other things because he's there. And they could depend on that. Now, you say, well, are we teaching people how to hold jobs this morning, Brother Rob? Are we teaching spiritual things? Well, we could say that all of the unseen things of the spirit world are revealed by things that appear. So if I have something in my life that I'm not showing the consistency on a daily basis, then there's going to be showing something up and would make me undesirable possibly in different things. So if I have an individual that's hit and miss, that I don't know when he's going to be there or when he's not because of an inconsistency in his life. And then when I'm really at a point where I really need to depend on him, there's a reservation in me. Is this right? I know some of you people are employers or been in places that you was really depending on somebody and they let you down. And there's some people that have natures like that, and you watch in their natures, and then you'll see that people have reservations because they're thinking, well, you know what? I've got myself at a place and now they let me down, or they let me down, they didn't show, or they didn't do this, and then they back away from them. And then many times that individual look at the other one and make it, well, you know, they're just not doing me right. But you see, it's because of an inconsistency. I remember Andy was working with a man and some of the other brethren and contractors, and this man has a really good tile man. He could go in and really do a nice job, but every once in a while he would show up on a job and he didn't care, and he would make a mess of things. You know, so let's say that he'd done 5 good jobs and this one job goes mess up and has to be tore out. What if this is a pattern with him? Then pretty soon you'd say, well, I can't take the chance to know if he's going to do a good job today or a bad job. You see, brothers, we've got to be consistent. If you want to be numbered as a perfectionist where people would say, hey, I could put him on my job, you know, and he's going to get the job done for me, he'll do it right. It's because of a consistency of doing, and you're showing the same thing over and over and over again. And then people will build strength with you. Is this correct? Now, I know when you go to hiring people, you know, and we can start applying this to personalities and people and this and that, but we need to apply it to ourselves. We can say, well, Brother Rob's really talking to this brother. I'm talking to every single one of us. Because what you might be looking at, you say, man, I'm always on time, I'm always dependable, but then yet you might not be consistent in your work habits, in whatever it is. Now, I know I'm saying a lot of things here, but I'm saying that if we would learn to watch these patterns, we're going to see something that takes place in the spiritual realm also. These things do not just appear or happen in our lives for an unknown reason. It's because there's something that's motivating every aspect of our life, and it's a spirit. And we're yielding everything into a spiritual world. Now, the thing is that in the spiritual realm, Christ would not bring a bad testimony to work habits. He would not. Now, the thing is if we've got a bad testimony or a weak testimony or a weakness in an area, the glory does not go to God. You say, well, this is just the way I am. Well, I've always been that way. Well, you don't have to submit to that. How old does a man get or become when he can't get his eyes opened up to something and make alterations or changes in his life? How old does a man have to be when he says, I'm not going to do that no more? Now, it is more difficult for an elderly person than a younger. Brother Pike was speaking about my father many years ago. And he said, your dad's, you know, like an old tree. And he said, the sap's not up in, they won't bend as much. And he'll never come to this to the measure that you can. And he was comparing me as a young man. And I was about 30, some years old then, my early 30s. You know, you say, well, what is he condemning your father? He said, no, he'll be all right. So do we make allowances for elderly people that we wouldn't maybe for younger people? No, we have to have understanding. But yes, elderly people could make alterations and changes. I've seen people give their life and have a true, genuine, born-again experience at 60 and 70 years old and really start making alterations, start meeting somebody that they carried around with them for 70 years and start really meeting the real individual. You understand that? But again, when we say consistency, if I could praise the little sister for consistency and we could see the effects for physical health, for physical form, you know, for shape, and for testimony, there's so many positive things. Why? Because of a consistency, staying with it. So the thing is, you know, man, I really had a good day yesterday. You know, I really served the Lord and I prayed and man, I felt so good. And then the next day, you know, you yielded to your flesh and your foolishness, your fleshly attributes and your masculinity or your femininity, whatever it is. And you're showing that, you see, there's given to change. You see, you're given to change. You know, I've heard people testify like this, say one thing about this man, he's always the same when I meet him. He's always the same. I could go into personalities, I know. But what I'm saying is, I've known other people, and it's always like they're going to go check and see. You know, like, well, this guy's not doing too good today. He's not having a good day, I guess. Come on now, like I see some of the guys, you know, thinking like, yeah, that's kind of the way it is when I come home with my wife. Sometimes she's having a good day, and sometimes she's not having a good day. See, that's an inconsistency, isn't it? Why would a woman have a good day and a bad day? Why would a man have a good day and a bad day? Say, well, Brother Rob, I know that you have some good days and some bad days. That's why I'm up here preaching. You understand what I'm saying? Do you have good days and bad days? But are we supposed to? You see, now we go to the scripture where it says, instant in season, out of season. And we've talked about this, I know, but this is a perfect application. You see, a natural tree out there has a season that it's in, isn't it? And we find that tree out there, they're going to start blooming here pretty soon, and they're going to start talking about bringing forth some fruit. And we could expect that, but we're not of this world. We're instant in season, out of season, out of season. So what is that saying? That means that we got fruit on our tree 24/7. And when you don't have fruit on your tree, there's something happening. I remember they wrote the article about Billy Graham said the winter time of his life. You know, sons of God don't have winter times. Come on now. What are seasons? It's earthly, manly, fleshly. When you see good days and bad days, it's because you're relative to the world. When you have a season where you're producing fruit, and then you have a season you're not producing fruit, you're relative to the world. You see, we're not relative to the world. When you think of seasons and we compare the harshness of winter and the sap down out of the trees and no fruit and the leaves and everything on, and we look at that, when we see that happening in your life, it means that you're not in the Spirit of God. Now the thing is if we're going to compare the spiritual things to what we see, again, the unseen things of the invisible world are revealed to us by the things that we see, the things that appear. Out of the abundance of the heart that maybe no man can see, it's going to speak, it's going to come forth, you're going to see it manifesting. So we're applying these kind of thoughts and scriptures. But how come we can't look in the mirror and really see what manner of man we are? How come we can't do that? You see, but if we would have eyes to see, then we could. Now, the thing is some people don't have disciplined life. And I like discipline. Sometimes we could do things to discipline ourselves that really aren't necessary. But we do it to discipline. How about fasting? Does anybody know that that's discipline? When you say, okay, flesh, you know, maybe you don't have conversations with your flesh. But you know, flesh, you're going to shut your mouth. You're not going to get this. You're not going to do this. And I'm going to take this away from you for a week, for whatever. I'm going to do this. This is why if we were going to even speak about diet, I have found that the only way that I was successful to do it was to make a vow unto God. That was just me. I'm not telling you that's what you need to do. You don't need to vow to God because most of you ain't got enough strength to make a vow and keep it. And you're better off not to vow as make a vow not keep it according to the scriptures. So, but I'm just telling you because my love for the word, if I tell God something, if I speak to my Lord and tell him I'm going to do something, I want to be consistent. Where he could say, well, you know what? I believe that if you tell me you're going to do this, you're going to do it. That's the kind of relationship I want with the Lord. And the thing is, I want that relationship with you too. If I speak to you as a brother, as a pastor, and I say, hey, Brother Pete, I'm going to do this. I want him to see that, hey, Brother Rob said he's going to be here, that I'll be there. And I want that with you all too. But see, with the Lord, I most definitely want that. So there's been times that I've made vows to do certain things and I've fulfilled them because I made it as unto the Lord. You know, and sometimes I've known many of you over the years and your vow to God don't mean nothing. You know, and that sounds like a rebuke and an insult. Well, it truly should be. But the thing is, you know, well, I'm going to go on a fast, Brother Rob, for a week and I see you 2 or 3 days later and you got a burger shoved down your throat and a milkshake in your hand. That's wrong. Amen. You should have never made the vow. That is wrong. I mean to tell you, if the way I judge things, and you might not agree with this, but that is no different than me seeing you sitting there drinking a jug of whiskey. I'm telling you the truth. That's the way I look at things and analyze things. And you think, well, maybe you're just too critical, Brother Rob, or too harsh. No, I believe in making a vow and keeping it. Now, I know there's grace of God, brothers, and we being a novice or something, and we might take on more than what we can handle, and we fall on our face, and God graciously picks us up. Yes, I understand that. You know, it's like I heard Brother Pike speaking one time, and he said, you know, I see these guys, and boy, they're going to set their faith for this, then they ain't got enough faith to get a pair of socks. You know, and they take on these big things. We need to step beyond our means, yes, in faith, and take on things that would be seem to be and appear to be unattainable to us. And we can do that. But again, I'm talking about discipline. Yes, I'm talking about consistency. But when we go for discipline, and you know, we have to discipline ourselves. Brother Chuck was speaking to me the other day. He said, you know, when I went to college, you know, it wasn't like high school and some of those things. You know, where elementary school, mom and dad's pushing you, get to school, you need to get your work done. When he went to college, he said none of that was happening. It was all on himself. He had to discipline himself to be at school, to be on time, to do his work. Mom and dad wasn't there to say, hey, you're going to do this. He learned a different aspect of discipline to meet and achieve the goal that he was desiring and the goal that he was looking for. Discipline. And the thing is if you lack discipline of yourself, and it's somebody having to drag you out of bed or somebody having to press you or push you, and I'm not firing on our brethren, but I remember we would go out on church jobs, we'd get in a church van, and we'd take off at 6 o'clock in the morning, be 8:30 before we got out of Monroe, because there were people that had no discipline in their life, and all we're doing it is under the Lord, so they got to wait, and we'd pull up in front of somebody's house, and we'd wait there 15 minutes for them to come out. That's wrong. It shows an individual that has a lack of discipline. But when it was a paid job or a money job, man, they would be the first guys jolly on the spot on the job. You see, what does that show? It shows that you run to your own household and leave the house the Lord lay waste. And when you go do something as unto the Lord, you would be more apt to show yourself faithful, available, and even work harder. I'm talking about discipline. I'm talking about a consistency. You know, we ran the race well, but what's hindered us? You know, we fought the fight yesterday, but what about today? You see, a champion, if we're going to look at the realms of ignorance like fighting or boxing or in the sports, you know, why is he a champion? Because of the consistency of winning and winning and conquering and conquering. The Bible says we're more than conquerors. What is more than a conqueror? Is that consistent winning? Is that consistent overcoming? But what happens is, in the religious realms, is we've made these strengths on these certain events in our life. And we make these strengths, well, yes, I got filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, or yes, man, I had this great experience, or I've done this. Those are great. I'm glad that we've had experiences. We could go over to the book of faith in Hebrews 11, and we could read all these different experiences to build the characteristics of faith upon, you know, that we could build it up. And I understand that. And we need to have these great things in our life that we could say, you know what, Lord, you've done it for me then, and you could do it for me again now. But see, faith is something that needs to be consistent on a daily basis within our life. And the thing is as I talk about fasting, that's discipline. You're disciplining something because that body's saying, I want to eat. That body's saying, hey, give me something right now. And you're saying, shut up. And you discipline it to shut its mouth and say, I'm not submitting to you. I'm not yielding to you. See, there's very powerful benefits in that. You know, very powerful benefits in fasting. You know, the Bible again says fast and pray. There's benefits in that. But see, there could be daily things that we do in discipline. The Bible said mortify the deeds of that man or that flesh every day. You see, how do you do that? Through discipline. Do you realize the discipline that it took that the Lord Jesus found in the Garden of Gethsemane to carry that flesh man? Come on now. He learned obedience by suffering, by things that he suffered. Now the thing is we've got things that we've got to look at and see. But we could say that the Lord Jesus was consistent, wasn't he? Do you read in the Bible, in the New Testament, when it's speaking about the life of Christ, do you see a lack of a consistency in his life? He's the same. When a man is given to change, there's a problem. There's another spirit that has moved in. We quote scriptures, a double-minded man is unstable in just some of his ways. No, it says all of them. The thing is where is the instability come from? From another mind, from another spirit. Is this correct? Come on, stay with me, brothers and sisters. And the thing is that, you know, we are the only one that could analyze this. The preacher could look at it and see your weaknesses and your strengths. But is that going to do you any good? I'm called to exhort you, to stir up that purity within you, to do these things. Yeah, but see, the thing is that there's somebody that's with you every day. We say, well, yeah, the Spirit of the Lord, but you're there too. When the sons of God came to present themselves, the Bible said the devil was there also. Now, the thing is that I'm going to switch just a little bit here for a moment. I've known natural people that did not have the Spirit of God. Okay? They didn't know God. They didn't love the Lord. They didn't have Christian ideology whatsoever or mind of Christ, nothing. But they were consistent. They were faithful as an employee. And they were not given to change. They were the same every time you met them. But see, that was a positive thing. And it made them excel in the world of natural. Excel in this world. Excel as businessmen, as entrepreneurs, as finances and everything. You see, now the thing is that those people are applying some of the spiritual attributes, even though they're carnal. Now the thing is many times in Christianity we do this. We apply things. We see the benefit, or we could be benefactors of these spiritual attributes, and they will. Let me tell you something. You could be lost, and if you tithe, you're going to reap a reward for tithing, and you could be lost on your way to hell. And you will see the spiritual world manifesting before your eyes. Brother Pike had heathen people that weren't living right coming over to his church and going by the bank and paying tithes. Well, that's filthy lucre, Brother Rob. What makes you think that? A man that's a hard-working man? That's not filthy lucre. There was a man that came and gave a very large offering. The man had robbed it. He'd stole it from some other business people. $30,000. He gave it to him. Guess what Brother Pike done with it when he got it? He spent it. He used it for the work of the Lord. And then he got a report as the man goes to jail and this and that he robbed the money. And guess what? We as a brotherhood, he said, brethren, we got to give this back. It wasn't that man's to give. And we did it with the help of the Lord. I give the glory to God, but we have to learn to apply. We did things as a brotherhood by the ordinances of God and by the yielding to the mind of Christ. But still, the thing is that there would be heathen people that would come in and give for they could reap the spiritual benefits. Say, well, I don't know if that'll work. I know it does work. The Bible said there's a reward for all labor. You know what that means? Good labor and bad labor. There's a reward for it. Amen? What is a reward for bad labor? Well, you'll know when you're in hell. There's a reward for all things. Amen? I'm just talking with you a little bit this morning. I like talking about things that we could apply in our lives. You know, again, if I went back to the dietitian side of things, you know, I could speak to a group of people and I could speak about things. You know what? If they don't apply it, it isn't going to do them any good, is it? But the ones that apply it, it'll be very evident that you'll see it in their lives. Is that true? What about all the applications that we're preaching and teaching about spiritual walk, spiritual life, about sacrifice, about pressing in, about mortifying that man and killing him out? Let me ask you something. Is it just as easy to see the application of that life? It sure is. It changes lives. It changes people's, the way they walk, the way they talk, the way they think. It changes the way they look. When you see a person that's born again, I mean, you can see it. It's not, you know, think, well, I don't know, you know, you don't know if they're born again or not. Well, let me tell you something. I don't agree with that at all. You'll know when a man's born again. It's not hard to tell when a man's born again or a woman's born again. And it's real easy many times. Now, I know that we've got to be careful here because, you know, we make allowances for little babies to stumble, to make their failures and things, and they do, and we make allowances. But if we go and see a consistent allowances of yielding to the flesh, yielding to the flesh, yielding to the flesh, yielding to the flesh, what does the Bible say about that? Whoever you yield yourself members to is who you are of. So if you're yielding to the flesh on a continuous basis, the Bible said your father's the devil. So you could say, well, I know whose father's the devil and I know whose father's God. Well, you should be able to do that by watching what they're fulfilling in their life. So if we are going to find, as you know, again, we say that when the sons of God came to present themselves, the devil was there also. You know, we could say, well, you know, we was on a church job yesterday and this brother had a devil. You know, how'd the devil get there? How did God get there? You know, and the thing is, brother, if I come to this church all by myself and it's a Tuesday and nothing's scheduled and I'm here all by myself and I'm a son of God and I come into this door and I'm here all by myself and I'm going to talk to the Lord, the devil's here also. You know, we want to talk about the omnipresence of God and he's here and there and everywhere, this and that. Well, let me tell you something. The spirit of Satan, when Jesus was by himself up on the Mount of Temptation, we say, who was there? The devil was. So if he goes off in a solitude place and the devil was there, what makes you think that he's not going to be there with you? You know, we put all this strength in, well, this guy's causing me a problem. The only reason that guy's causing you a problem is because you're allowing it. You yielded to it. You wear yourself out in your minds. And you get yourself all upset because this one didn't do or this one didn't do. I remember using this example to you. You know, let's say that this is a classroom and I'm teaching y'all aviation. And the reward of your class, after we're all done, you're going to have a pilot certificate. Okay? So the thing is Gabriel back here says, I'm quitting. Man, none of these people can fly. They can't even pass the test. I'm at it. Well, who did he just hurt? But if he pressed in and listened to the things that are going forth, it must not be a very good teacher if, you know, the whole class is failing. Well, there might be some times to consider that. Most definitely, we got to make considerations if everybody's failing that we might need to check out the teacher. But on the other hand, you know, we need to find out if the things are going and if I've got five people that are really applying and going and they're excelling, what's the excuse for the other 15 or 20 or whatever it is? Again, brothers and sisters, consistency is what we want. You know, the man that makes it, he's consistent. He didn't yield to his failures. I know that if we went back to aviation when I was training, there would be times I had difficult with maybe a maneuver or maybe some kind of a thing. And I could say, man, I just can't do this and give up. No, I didn't do that. I was consistent. And I kept going back and I'd conquer it. So why are we talking about airplanes? Because it's the same thing. It's the same thing in your life. Of the things that perplex you, the things that vex you. Or do you ever find yourself being vexed by of your own self? If you've never vexed your own self, then maybe you're having a problem not looking at yourself. When you think of yourself and you're always well pleased, you know, man, I'll tell you what, I wish everybody was like me. Man, I wish everybody had the abilities that I've got. I wish everybody was as good as me and as faithful as me. I wish everybody prayed like me and everybody does. You know, if this is the only thing going through your mind, you've never come to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's impossible. The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't lift you up. It lifts Him up. It reveals Him, not you. When you think that the revelation is going to reveal you, you've got something really crossed up in your spirit and your mind. It reveals Christ, and the glory goes to God. And when they try to give you the glory, as a man, you say, wait a minute. Man, and you bow down in the perspective, man, please. Man, if I've done any good thing, glory be to God. If there's any good thing that's taking place, because we know that there's no good thing in the flesh. So the glory has to go to God. Amen? But let's look at ourselves for a moment here this morning before we read the scriptures or the word. If you are one that is a man or a woman that has observation that you observe. Now, the thing is if you want to excel in any trade, I don't care what it is, you're going to have to observe what you're doing to perfect. Do you believe in perfection? Well, Jesus perfected me by his works at Calvary. I say yea and amen, but I'm called to perfect you also. So while you're talking about being perfect in the spirit, I'm called to perfect you in the things that people see. So the thing is while you're testifying being perfect in Christ, then the thing is you could testify that through the action of faith, but then that faith is going to have to be applied through works. And do you realize that you perfect your faith by works? I can read the scripture to you. Faith is perfected, it says, by works. People don't like that, but that's Bible. So what part am I going to teach you? I'm going to teach you how to perfect your faith by works. Is this right? So what are your works? And if your works aren't consistent on a natural job and they can't depend on you and you're unfaithful or unloyal, then what is that showing in a spiritual dimension or spiritual realm? I remember going out on some meetings with Brother Pike and people would go and he'd say, hey, I'm setting a meeting over in Hawaii or I'm setting a meeting over here. And boy, all these people that come out of the woods, man, I want to go. You know, we're going to do something for the Lord. And Brother Pike said, well, how can I expect you to help me over there in Hawaii? Do something for the Lord when you're not helping me here on the home front. You know, what was that individual? He was excited, you know, I could have an excuse now to go vacation on some island resort. But he said, you're not faithful with me now. What am I talking about? Consistency again. You see, what about the man that was consistent on the home front? What's he going to do when he gets over on the islands or whatever? You're going to find the same thing. Now, the thing is what we're talking about is building a character, an attribute. You understand that? Again, if we remove the spiritual world out of this conversation and we're just going to live to be whatever, 50, 60, 70, 80, 100, whatever we're going to live, you see, there would still be benefit in this world if we could excel because of discipline. Things in this world come through discipline. Do you realize that? As I talk about the little sister, it didn't just happen. Well, I just happened to read the right diet book. No, she disciplined herself. I find that many of these things work, but it's all through one thing. It's discipline and consistency. So if Jesus had disciples, disciples were disciplined. And we see what the fruit of the disciplined life is. So what if I see undiscipline in your life? If I see that you don't discipline yourself, what do you mean discipline myself? Discipline could be in personal hygiene. You discipline yourself to take care of your hygiene. Discipline could be the way your car looks and the way your automobile looks, the way your shop looks. I didn't say that. I'm getting rebuked now, Brother Ed. But I'm telling you, there's a consistency. I've shared this with you. When I had an aircraft shop, every night at the same time, we shut the mechanics down and said, hey, we're going to spend this time cleaning the shop. And you do that every day, and it stays up with it. When you find a housewife that's consistent about keeping her home clean, or you could let it build up and build up and reproach you and reproach the kingdom of God, reproach everything, and then, oh, I'm going to jump in and clean it up now. See, that's not right. We don't do that with our physical body. You don't do it with your eating habits. Well, I'm not going to eat for a week. No, you don't do that. You know, you take and you satisfy your fleshly appetites on a continuous basis. So we're still speaking about consistency. So if we talk about the positive things of consistency, what about the negative things of consistency? What if you're consistent unfaithful? What if you're consistently out of church? What if you're consistently messing up your job? What is that? What is that testifying about you? You know, who do you yield in your members to? If you could realize that that's what you're of and quit playing games with yourself and lying to yourself, then you might want to make some changes. Is this true? Christianity, brothers and sisters, isn't this new doctrines that they're teaching right now. That's just this little group of people that get together once a week. And you know, they say, hey, we're a Christian. And the preacher gets up there and makes everybody feel good. And oh yeah, man, I'll tell you what, you're the apple of the Lord's eye. Christianity is a disciplined way. Brother George wrote a tract, A Crucified Way. You see, crucifixion, somebody tell me, boy, that's easy. Tell me where a crucified life is something easy. Tell me where being spit in your face is easy. Tell them where they speak all manner lies against you is easy. When they hate you, when they have no reason, tell me when that's easy, brothers and sisters. But let me tell you something, Satan is consistent. You know, he's not going to back off. Back in the worldly days, you know, a couple guys might get in what you call a confrontation or a scrap. And it used to be, years ago, a little bit of, I mean, if you could have decency in the dark side of things, but I mean, a man would get the best of a guy and say, okay. And they'd get up, sometimes they'd shake hands and go on. Okay, this guy got the best of me. It ain't that way no more. They'll stomp him to death, stick a knife in him, kill him or whatever. Satan's persistent. He's going to keep on and he's going to keep on. And if he can find that weak place in your life, he's going to keep on pressing there until he enters in. And you've got through discipline and through a consistency of fighting him, you draw nigh unto the Lord and resist him. The Bible said he flees. But you see, a lot of times we'll take and quote those scriptures, but we did not what the Bible said. Draw nigh unto the Lord. That's when he flees. Why did he flee? Because you're with the Lord. When you draw nigh unto the Lord, you're with the Lord. And he can't fight the Lord. He already knows that that battle's already been done. But you try to do it on your own self, you're going to lose. So you have to draw nigh and resist him, and then he flees. So I've seen people resist him without the drawing nigh on the Lord. Get you behind me, Satan. And they resist. And he just smiles. Sometimes he just has to stand back. He's one that observes life too, brothers and sisters. Sometimes you'll say, well, he's on a case of the do-betters today. I'll just stand back here for a while. I got all of eternity. I'll just stand back here for a moment and I'll come over to his place tomorrow. He'll probably be back the way he was the day before yesterday. Persistence. You know, what are the worldly saying? It says, the will that squeaks gets the grease, huh? Isn't that what they say? You've all heard that before, haven't you? I don't know if you ever know what that means. And there's people that they're persistent. And boy, they'll keep squeaking and squeaking and they're going to get some grease. What do you think it is with the Lord when you're petitioning the throne of God? And he sees a consistency, a determination in you. That moves him. I shared a story with you guys about using a man to help us lay the block on this building. We didn't need him. We didn't need his help. But he was consistent. Every day he would stop by here. I'd be out here working, digging, doing things. And he kept saying, man, I want to lay your block. I want to lay your block. So I finally made a deal with him. I said, well, you can come out and work with us and help us. Because of a consistency, he come by on a continuous basis. He wasn't going to be satisfied with the answer. We're going to do it ourselves. No, I don't need a block man. But he kept coming. And finally I said, okay, I like that. I told some of these young folks around here looking for a job. I told them the same thing. Consistent. Man, just keep on pressing. Keep on looking. Yesterday, the guy told you didn't need no help. You show up again today. And he said, I don't need no help. You show up again tomorrow. And he said, no, sir, I still don't need no help. And you keep doing that. And then when he does need help, you're going to be the guy in his mind. Because you were there. And he goes, you know what? That guy's got a desire. People like that. But let's talk about your Christianity. Are you given to change? Oh, I want to win souls, Brother Rob. Well, which day are you going to do that on? Are you going to do that on your good day or your bad day? Are you going to do that on your up day or your down day? Are you going to do that on your angry day or your happy day? You see, we're talking about change, an inconsistency. And you will get in your Christian walk because you've done an exploit today for the Lord, or you're on the case of the do-betters today, and then you feel pretty good about yourself, but then you'll be back right down on your face. I like what they say that Einstein said, and I know you all know this, but he said that, you know, doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, is insanity. How many of us are insane, brothers and sisters? Come on now, I know you don't want to admit to being insane. I'm not insane, Brother Rob. But you keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different results. Now, if that's the definition of insanity, man, we're all got a little bit of insanity, don't we? I keep shoving burritos and tacos and burgers down my throat, and I'm expecting to lose weight. No, I'm going to stay fat. Isn't that right? I mean, I could start seeing a pattern. Oh, but you know, because I'm thinking this way, it doesn't work that way. There's got to be something changed someplace. You know, if I keep doing the same thing, I could expect no results. So spiritually speaking, if I keep lacking to find time to talk to the Lord and to pray or to read my Bible, are you going to put all the emphasis of Christianity in the Word of God and reading the Word and prayer? I'll tell you what, that's a very good place and a good foundation to start, because I do know this, that when I lack to talk to the Lord or lack His Word, then I'm lacking His Spirit, amen? Because His Word is Spirit and it's life. But what about there's people that are continually studying the Bible but don't have a Spirit? So it's line upon line. I'm telling you, there's people that are in their Bibles on a continuous basis. They don't know the Word of God. They don't have the Spirit of the Word. So that's why I don't read it, Brother Rob, is because, you know, I've seen that before, so I just don't do it. No, you're inexcusable, man. It doesn't work that way either. Consistency. Consistency. Some of you have excelled in the job world because of a consistency, of dependability. They see it. There's a pattern in this man's life. Now let's talk about the friends that we have that are given to change. What aspect of their life are you going to apply what you're needing them to do for you? Or wanting them to be partakers with you? What aspect of their life are you going to latch on with? It makes it difficult for you to make a decision, doesn't it? If it's a man that has poor work habits and his work isn't always right and has to be corrected on a continuous basis, well, I would like to send him on the job, man, but I don't want to lose this contractor because I'm afraid that, man, he's let me down before. He didn't do a proper job. He didn't fix his damage or whatever. So then you draw back. Now I'm talking natural things. I understand that. But brothers and sisters, it's applied in the spiritual world. You see, if a man can't take discipline in a natural job and receive exhortation or reproof about his failure, that man will not receive it in the spiritual realm. Thus saith the Lord. I can't say that with enough strength. I'm telling you, these worlds run patterns, brothers and sisters. And the things that are appearing is something that the Lord has shown us that we could make spiritual application of. And a man that won't receive correction, reproof, exhortation from an employer will not receive it from a minister. He won't. Now, let me ask something. If an employer goes to a man and reproves him about his inability, and he said, man, I'm better than you anyway. I can do this better than you can. You just don't know what you're talking about. It's the customer's fault anyway. They're not supposed to like it that way. It should be the way I like it. Now, what am I saying here? That's what happens in the spiritual realm. They got their own idea. The preacher's pouring out his heart, speaking by the Spirit of the Lord, and they're sitting there reasoning that, well, it's, you know, that's just your thoughts. That's just the way you think it is. I've got this all worked out. You see, I'm telling you, these patterns, brothers and sisters, and things, they fit. Have you looked and see what pattern you're running today? Have you looked at the pattern of your life? I'm not talking to just one here or two. I'm talking to every single one of us, brothers and sisters, and we fail to look at the weaknesses and our inabilities. You know, just because I'm a preacher don't mean I don't war with all these things. Sometimes people got the idea that the preacher can't say nothing because he ain't got the victory in it. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. We're all in the same walk here. We're all pressing our way into the kingdom of God. We're all looking to encourage one another, strengthen one another. If I'm weak, then you should help me. If you're weak, I should help you. This isn't a big I and a little you or whatever. We're all part of this body of Christ, and we're trying to work our way into the kingdom of God. And some of the things I'm speaking about here, brothers and sisters, yes, I've conquered some of these things, you know, in my life. I've conquered many of these things. But, Brother Scissor, it's not that I conquered it last week and now I could say, well, I've already whipped that, he ain't going to come back around. Let me tell you again, a consistency. If the devil's going to be consistent pursuing your weakness, then you need to be persistent strengthening where that weakness is at until it's no longer a weakness. Let the weak cry out, for they could be strong. So if you don't think you have inabilities or failures or weaknesses in life, you'll never grow in the grace and knowledge of God. But if you could recognize these things and call upon the name of the Lord, and you call upon God and say, God, I want to change. I want to conquer this thing. I want to whip this thing. This is why I like discipline. Because a man that's disciplined in his life, you're going to see the fruit of the Spirit in his life. You see, and we are too much disciplined for a day and then going the rest of the time and feeling like that's okay. I went over and I done this, man. I went on the church job today, so hey, praise God. I'm going to cruise for 2 weeks now. You're on your way to hell. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Is that just, what, one day? And then you let the rest of the days go to waste? Every day when you're on your own job, you're doing it as under the kingdom of the Lord to bring a reproach off of you that you won't be numbered as an unbeliever because you've got a job and you're doing it as under the Lord. And the Bible said you labor to have to give. So there's never a day that you're not doing it as under the Lord. Every day of our life, we're giving it as under the Lord, brothers and sisters. And if we could learn to do that, then we're going to find that we're consistent and He's going to be consistent about blessing us. Oh, but He opened up the floodgates of heaven for me last month. Hey, I like it every day. And we could get into a place with the Lord that this could happen. We're the ones that control the floodgates of heaven. And you think God's just holding back from me? No, you're holding back from Him. He's never wanted to hold anything back. He's given us everything that pertaineth unto life, but you just have a way of stopping it. So again, consistency. I don't want to be up and down. I don't want to be given to change. I don't want to be seasonal. I don't want to be numbered as good day and bad days. I want to be the same, where people could expect and know what they're going to see. People like that. Let's go on just a little bit more. Let's talk about failures. Failures are because of a lack of consistency. When a guy's a good pilot and then he flies into the side of a mountain, he wasn't a good pilot that day, was he? He failed somewhere. Christians, brothers and sisters, you know, the thing is we should be walking. You might not be burning up the fields, but if you're consistent, you're going to be making headway. The old hare and the tortoise. Tortoise stayed consistent. This other one, boy, run by him and laugh at him and say, oh man, you're so slow and this and that. But he went and laid down on the job and he lost out. You know, a little fairy tale or whatever they call them. But you know, there's something to that story, brothers and sisters. A man that's consistent with the Lord. You know, if you don't save, and I'm not an advocate of savings, but I'm just saying that, you know, take somebody, just puts a little aside. Let's say $1 a day. Well, that don't sound like much. Well, ask me at the end of the year. It's $365. $2 a day. $3 a day, $10 a day. What if you put $10 away? Think, yeah, $3,600 at the end of the year. That's not bad money, is it? But see, if you were consistent to do that, you can see how it builds up. You know, this is the Lord's work, brothers and sisters. I didn't come over here with this word in my mind this morning. It's not like I woke up last night consistent. But I'm telling you, I know how to apply it in all realms and all dimensions. You understand that? You see, a guy that smokes a cigarette, you think it ain't going to kill him. Probably not. But if he keeps consistent at it, it's going to kill him. A guy that does stuff to damage his heart. You say, well, you know, it ain't going to hurt. You know, shove down some more of that greasy stuff. But one day, because of your consistency, you're going to die. So we're talking about in all dimensions. Is this correct? Physical realm, we can see the physical consistency of not taking care of your physical body is going to kill it and die. Is this correct? So what about spiritual consistency, not given to change and being led by the Spirit and walking in the Spirit on a consistent basis? Then what are you going to expect to find in this man's life? You're going to expect to find the fruit of the Spirit. Is this right? If we look, you know, honey, I love you. Oh, let me take you out to dinner tonight, babe. Oh, let me do this for you. Let me do this for you. Hey, man, she's enjoying that for the moment. But then tomorrow I treat her like some kind of a street walking tramp and talk to her that way. But then I say, well, honey, don't you remember the way I spoke to you yesterday? Well, she's having trouble smiling back at me because I'm treating her like some kind of tramp. Today she's having troubles remembering that yesterday I was nice to her. But why do we think this way? This is the way all men's hearts are, brothers and sisters. This way man thinks. Well, I was good to you yesterday. I was nice to you then. I've done this for you yesterday, honey. But wouldn't they rather just see a consistency of being kind? So then if I'm being ornery and mean and contrary and things to her today, then what am I expecting to reap from her? Huh? What am I expecting to reap? This works. This isn't some make-believe thing. It works in marriage. It works in employees. It works in employers. It works in dieting. It works in everything. You know, you got to realize that every time you shove something down the throat, it pops out somewhere. I mean, it consistently does that, doesn't it? The skinny guys always smile when I say stuff like that. Little skinny girls and stuff. Us fat boys, Billy, we think, oh, help me, Jesus. But it's consistency. Where are you not going to apply this at? In marriage, it brings success. It brings prosperity. It brings strength. Well, I'm going to practice the attributes of Jesus today. What are you going to do tomorrow? Well, when do you give into change? Why does it say that? Because if there's no consistent pressing into the kingdom of God, there's going to be all these other things in your life. I want some long-term effects in my life. I want some longevity. I want something eternal, something found, something grounded, something stable, something good. See, it's attainable. It's attainable in the mind of God. Can somebody show me that where God was given to change? Where the Lord Jesus walking among man was given to change? Well, the Bible says that, you know, the Lord did repent that he made man. And he cursed Nineveh and you know, made a change there. Well, I know you can go into the scriptures and to different things, but God is very consistent. I said this about science. They can tell you what time the sun's going to come up in 2090 on July 15th. I promise you, that's attainable information. Because God's consistent. He is so consistent that if we pray and seek His face, that we know what the results are going to be before we even do it, because He's consistent. He said if these natural men could give good gifts to their children, how much more so me, being a spiritual heavenly Father, would desire to give unto you. He's consistent. He's consistent in discipline. He's consistent in blessings. You see, it's not hit and miss with God. I know that there's times that God's grace would seem to be more so. It depends on the expectation of the individual. Much given, much more required. And I watched the way the Lord worked through a great man of God. He could testify to this. Some of the men that walked under him and was around him. You'd see a man that had been at the church for 3-4 weeks straight. Never went to work one day. 4 weeks at the church straight. There every day and every morning, and missed one day. And walk in the door and got rebuked. Say, brother, where were you at? Don't you know the Lord had need of you today? And be another man that walk in the door that ain't been around and done one thing at the church for months. And he walk in and the pastor say, hey, brother, how you doing? God bless you. It's good to see you here today. And you say, that's man given to change. No, not whatsoever at all. God chastens them that he loves. But see, the pastor had an expectation of this brother. Had an expectation of this man to finish his work and fulfill his obligation. And if the man was being exhorted because he had a great expectation, and which one do you want to be? Which one would you like to be? Would you like to be one that's being exhorted by the spirit world and by the kingdom of God? Or one that just, they got no expectation of you? The reason the other man wasn't rebuked because he had no expectation of the other man. The other man never was consistent in the things of God. He never showed himself loyal or faithful to the things of God. So he had no expectation of the man, so there was no reproof for the man. But when a man's finding himself being exhorted and reproved and rebuked, it's because God has an expectation of them. He said he chastens them that he loves. He chastens his children. I've told my children so many times as a natural father, I said, you know, I've got expectations of you. I got greater expectations of you. No, I wasn't disciplining the neighbor's children. I had no expectation of them. Those weren't my children. But my children, I had an expectation. That children over there is back talking their mom and dad. My children, I had an expectation that wasn't going to happen. But what about the Heavenly Father? What is his expectation for you? What is it? Is his expectation of you to just keep on drifting around and hitting and missing and in and out and up and down and this and that? Is that his expectation? And you won't find no reproof because he said, hey, that's just what they are. Ethiopian ain't going to change his color. This is what they are. What's the consistent pattern of your life? What about your spirit? What about your nature? What about your attributes? What about your actions? What about your conversations? You know, what is it with you? We're challenging ourselves this morning, brothers and sisters. We haven't even read the scriptures here. We're talking about a word called consistent. Some of us are very consistent at failures, very consistent at weakness. Isn't that a sad testimony? What do people see if you're an epistle read known of all men? What are they reading about? Let's read some scripture here. Go over to Psalms 103. It's my calling, brothers, to exhort you. Well, I want to be encouraged. This is encouraging. Because if I'm not consistent, I need to be encouraged into consistency, huh? A psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Did you forget his benefits? I said something about being a benefactor. It talks about that in the New Testament. Benefactor. They didn't forget the benefits of the Lord. You know, there's benefits when you work all week. There's a check at the end of the week, isn't there? There's benefits when you do things. You show some consistency to the Lord, and you'll find some benefits. Who forgiveth all the iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, forgiveth all of thine iniquities. He's consistent about that. Who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with the loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower out of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the places thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all his host, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I'm going to say a couple things in closing of the service this morning. Let me tell you one of the reasons that you have faith and confidence and trust in Jesus Christ. You know why? Because he's consistent. You're still on that word, Brother Rob. Huh? You can read the scripture. You got to stay with that word. He's consistent. The sun's going to come up tomorrow because of his consistent God. You know why some of you like working for other people, or maybe working for maybe a certain brother, maybe more so than another brother? Is because the brother that you like working for has been consistent to be straight, to be honest, to pay you an honest day's work for what you do. So you can expect that when you go to work with him and you like that. It's because he's consistent. Amen? The thing is your flesh is consistent and your spirit's consistent. They both have a strive. They both have their own kingdom. They both have a place, and you've got to realize that in this fight is we got to stay consistently fighting against the adversary of God, and that's you. Your flesh, your mind, your ways, your thoughts, your desires, your hopes, your trust, and everything is absolutely contrary to the things of God and the mind of God. And that's not going to ever change. Now, you might conform to a form of godliness, but when you deny the power of God, you are going to be continually inconsistent in the spiritual world. But the thing is when you come to the mind of Christ, the revelation of the Lord, and you mortify you, your mind, your ways, your desires out of the way, you will find again a consistency of you being led by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, not given to change. Your testimony is the same. And when people run into you on a daily basis, they know what they're going to meet. They should be able to say, I'm not going to see brother such and such for a week, but you know what you're going to find when you get there. But when you find good days and bad days and upset, and down and up and this and that. You're part of this world, the pattern of this world, the seasons of this world, and you need help and you need to change. Amen? You understand that? Now the thing is let me talk about the Lord here in a closing thought. The thing is we do know that there's a consistency of the Lord, but he is a merciful God and he is a God of judgment. Now when you see that, you would think that he's made a change, but he's consistent in judgment. He's consistent in mercy. He's consistent in blessing. But the thing is that it wasn't that God was given to change. It was that you were the one given to change in the way that he had to deal with you. Do you understand that? He is going to be as consistent in both perspectives. You as a mother, or you as a father, are inconsistent in discipline to your children or your grandchildren. You know, one day you're going to let them get by with it. One day you won't. The next day you will. The next day you won't. And the child has got a problem with that. And this is why you find yourself in many kind of thoughts, find yourself up and down and upset. And all these different things is because of a lack of your consistency. But God's not that way. When you fail the Lord, brothers and sisters, he's going to be there to remind you, to show you in love. He is not the one that's given to change. You are. When you find the chastening, and then you find the discipline, and you're not finding the blessing, many times the chastening will bring forth the blessing. The Bible said it yieldeth forth the righteous fruits. So yes, we are disciplined people and chastened people, but the reason we're disciplined and chastened is because we gave the change. That's why. It's not because God changed the way he wants to deal with you. He wants to bless you. That's his consistent desire of his heart, is to pour out the abundance of blessings upon you. But you've got to be at a place that you could receive that. If you receive it in the flesh, then it's going to strengthen your flesh and you'll fall. Bible said we don't raise up novices because they get puffed up in this mind and they're in the fall or they're in the crash up. You understand that? So the thing is we could bless and it caused someone to die, cause somebody to fall. But he blesses and he knows when to bless and when you got the foundation to pour the blessing out upon. Amen. His desire hasn't changed for you and I. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be in health. He wants to bless you. He wants you to have the joy of the Lord. Amen. But the joy of the Lord is not something that's given to change. The joy of the Lord is a consistent thing again. It isn't because you're having a good day. Well, I got the joy of the Lord today because, man, that builder finally paid me. I got the joy of the Lord today because, man, I got off work early. I got the joy of the Lord today because, you know, I got my car paid off. I got the joy of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, that's not joy. That's temporal, because that car you paid off is going to break. It's going to rot. Or, you know, I got the joy because it's pretty weather. The weather's going to change. Everything that you see, touch, and everything is changed. It's given to change. But that's not what gives us the joy. You see, the joy of the Lord is because we have the Spirit of the Lord that's not given to change. It's always, brothers and sisters, walking in the sunshine on the cloudy, snowy day. You understand that? When the sea is raging and the boat is looking like it's going to be overrun, you've got the joy of the Lord. You see, the joy of the Lord isn't given to change. We got the joy, not because of our flesh is strong or because it's weak. It's because it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual joy. It's not this temporal joy of the laughter and the things of this world. That's not the joy of the Lord. So if you want to find a consistency, you're going to find it only in the spirit realm. This flesh is given to change. It changes, it ages, it wears out, it gets weak, it's up, it's down. So don't yield to that. This isn't my problem or your problem. It's all of our problems. Each and every one of us are susceptible to this. And some of us are more inconsistent than others in our actions, in our ways. I don't care where you want to apply this at. You want a successful marriage because you are continually pressing to make it successful. You're consistent about making it work. You're consistent about denying yourself. If your marriage is all about you, you're not a Christian. If your marriage is your wife is your helpmate and she's all to help you, you're not even a Christian to think that way. Are you listening to me? You're not a Christian at all. You see, we always apply the wrong side of the scriptures. You apply the scriptures to your wife. Rena, no, you apply the scripture to yourself as the man. Honey, I'm willing to lay my life down for you. I'll die for you. Yes, I see your failures and your weaknesses. Let me help you. Let me strengthen you. Let me teach you. Let me show you. Let me lead you by example. Let me show you why you're weak in this area and do that. See, there's a consistent love right there. And that man's going to have for a while, and he'll see the change and the fruit and the attributes of that in her life. And when a man is not right and the woman's going to be consistent and reward him with love and respect and honor, even though he's not desiring or deserving any honor, even though he's not deserving those things because of his foolishness or whatever, if the woman would consistently love him and show respect to him like the Bible says, then you'll find a man that'll line up with that. You see, the marriage failure is because the woman failed, and the marriage failure is because the man's failed. Well, which one are you talking to? If you're the man, I'm talking to you, and you made it fail. If you're the woman, I'm talking to you, you made it fail. You see, consistency. It's that way every time. That's the way I judge things every time. Every single time. Well, you can't do it that way, Brother Rob. I can do it that way because I'm consistent. I do it that way every single time. I've had people come to me and counsel with Brother Rob. Yeah, I know I sound like a broken record because it's the Word of God and it's consistent. I'm not going to change it to fit your life. I'm not going to change it to fit your situation. I'm not going to change it to fit this or fit that. The Word's being altered and changed and modified and stuff. I'm not going to do that. It worked then. It'll work now. Amen. Consistency. Stay with the Word. Stay with the Bible. Stay with the Lord. Try it. Well, you know, you don't know my wife, Brother Rob. I think she's doing pretty good because I know you too. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Are you consistent about that?
Amen.
What if you love him then? What are you doing? Amen. Well, if we're not keeping the commandments of the Lord, could I say that I don't love the Lord? We got to take the Bible, don't we? I offended a man very much so. But Brother Pike passed away. This man came out to his funeral. And one of the brethren was standing next to this man and said, you know, this guy really loved Brother George. I'm sorry, I guess I'm a little bit too. I said, no, he didn't. This guy was crying at the funeral. I said, if he would have loved Brother Pike, he would have been over here working with him and helping him advance in the kingdom of God. And you say, well, I don't think you could judge things that way, Brother Rob. Well, how do you judge love then? Well, I love the Lord, but give me another beer. I love the Lord, give me another joint. I love the Lord, give me another snort. I love the Lord, give me another whore. Does that sound like somebody loves the Lord, guys? I mean, I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page here. I mean, I make analyzations. The Bible said if you love the Lord, you keep His commandments. So if you're not keeping the commandments of God, and you tell me, oh, but I love the Lord, Brother Rob, I'm saying, well, you're a liar, right? I watch things. You know, why do you lie to yourself and deceive your own selves, the Bible says? You know, look at what your pattern is. Look at what you're doing. Look at what your life is. Look what other people see. What do they see? Are you faithful? Are you godly? Are you dependable? Are you honest? Are you shady? We like to make things, you know, sound. That's just a little white lie. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. Consistency. It works in all realms. Some of you made your way naturally, physically and spiritually in life by being consistent. Some of you have failures in your life and been the same thing because of a consistency. You're consistently in ignorance and in error. You consistently lie. You consistently cheat. You consistently rob. And you say, Brother Rob, we don't have nobody in here like that. Well, the devil's here, ain't he? Isn't that Bible? Is he here? What does he come to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. How's he going to steal, kill, and destroy? By finding a vessel that will yield to him through their carnality. And when they yield to him, they're going to be doing that through them. Well, you know, Brother Rob, I give most of my days to the Lord and, you know, just some days. Well, that's not good. I want to be a child of God every day. I like what Brother Pike said. He goes, I don't want to talk about just being filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to stay full of the Holy Ghost. Praise God for, you know, dancing in the Spirit yesterday, but let's dance today. Amen. This isn't a message that we need to take lightly. What are you failing in? Shouldn't you be looking at the weaknesses and the failures? If Pete's going to train you to run trim, and you're persistently goofing up the crown or consistently messing up the windows, you say, well, I'm just not a trim man and quit. I don't believe in that. I believe in conquering. Why am I doing this wrong? What am I doing? Ask somebody. Multitude in a wisdom of counsel. Ask somebody that they got nice straight miters on the windows and their doors are hung properly and straight. Ask them, well, help me out here a little bit. Do you have a desire to learn? And naturally speaking, in my life, I've desired to learn many things. And I've excelled in some things because I had a desire to learn. But what about walking in the Spirit? Do you have a desire to be led by the Spirit of God? Do you have a desire to know what it is to be an overcomer? Do you have a desire to be consistent? And that God says that, you know, this man's not given to change. He's the same today and to every generation. So if God's not given to change, then why am I? Why do I have good and bad and upset and happy days? You see, it's because I'm yielded to an enemy that come in and brought darkness into my life. So who's the problem here? Is it because God doesn't love me? Is it because God's cursing me? You see, God doesn't want to curse you. He wants to bless you. But you have to be at the place to receive the blessing. Do you realize that? You have to be where He wants you to be to receive. Are you where He wants you at? Are you there? Where's that place at? It's wherever I'm at. If I had to depend on being right here at this church and Christian temple for the blessings of God, I'm in trouble. It's wherever I'm at. I need the Lord when I'm in Georgia or in Africa or wherever I'm at. I need God. I need Him with me. And if I testify about anything, it's about Christ. If you see me conquer, if it's as simple as a diet, you know, praise be to God. I just got done confessing to you. The only way I could do it is I made a vow to God. That's the only way I could do it because my flesh is too much alive. It likes to eat. Oh, give me another cake. Give me another pie. Give me another cookie. Give me another this. Give me another that. That's the flesh, man. So I made a vow to God. So you know, I'm going to shut that guy up. That's the only way I was successful in it. The only way you can be successful in a marriage is by making a vow to God. I'm going to love my wife and I'm going to treat her like Christ treated the church. Amen. And then you find you make a vow to God and you start doing that and you'll see fruit in it. You will. I don't care if you've been married 1 year, 2 years, 5 years. You know, there's some things that are consistent in your life. When you get hungry, you feed it every day, don't it? How many times do you not cater to your flesh when it says, man, I'm hungry? Come on now. Does your flesh ever talk to you and say, I'm hungry? I hear it all the time. I'm starving to death, man. I haven't eaten since 2 hours ago. How many of your kids come to you, I'm starving? They don't know what starving is. But see, that's the flesh talking, isn't it? Oh, I'm starving. I'm going to perish. The flesh is consistent, isn't it? It's going to consistently perplex you and vex you if you're a son of God. It's going to continually cry out. But you're accustomed to yielding to it. You feed it when it's hungry, when it's tired, you take it for a rest. When it wants to go for a car drive on a pretty day, you take it for a car drive. It don't matter. You're always doing things to savor your flesh. But what about if you was as consistent at serving God and trying to please the Lord and walk in the Spirit of God? What do you think the benefit would be from that? Do you realize He's going to take care of your natural needs, your fleshly needs? You won't starve. You won't lack. You'll have a provisions of this world because you continually sought the kingdom of God. You can't outgive God. Are you consistently pressing and desiring more of God, wanting more of Him? Your desires shouldn't change when it comes to the things of God and the desires to please God. But you got a man that keeps getting in the way. You got a flesh man that keeps getting in the way of that. Because it's not going to let up. It's going to continually persistent and consistent. He's going to be there. He wants to eat every day. Quit feeding him and you'll die. Don't put him down to take a nap or sleep. He'll do that on his own. Go ahead and tell me you're going to stay up for 4 days. Try it. You'll find yourself. I tried, Brother Rob. Brother Pike said, you know, I try to pray all night long, brother, many times. And he said, sometimes I don't make it. Well, I can't pray all night. Well, why don't you try 5 minutes a day? Some of you would really help you. 5 minutes. Be consistent about that. Well, I prayed over my food. I asked the Lord when we blessed the food if he would bless the brethren while I was down there asking for the food. Is that all your prayer life is when it's supposed to be without ceasing? Do you realize you can have a spirit of prayer going while you're speaking to people? You can't do that as a man, but the Spirit of the Lord can. He could be intercessing and communicating, and there could be strengthening, building up your innermost faith while you're praying in the Holy Ghost, and you have this intercession in your spirit. See, that's a consistent thing if you're a son of God, walking where you should. But we could yield to the flesh, the desires of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, and all of a sudden we start finding we're getting ourselves distant, where it said, draw nigh unto the Lord and resist the devil. But we're not drawing nigh, nor are we resisting the devil, and we find ourselves getting weak. We find ourselves in a fall. We find ourselves being overwhelmed and overtaken. A woman that's weak will be overwhelmed and overtaken by man, and she'll be violated. You being the woman, your flesh, you need to cry out for strength of God. If you don't, you're going to be violated by demons, and they'll take your life. And when your life's all said and done and it's all measured out, they're going to see that you yielded your members to the things of this world and the things of the flesh. I know it's hard. Some of you young people in here, you know, you're young and zealous and got a lot of zip and zeal. And boy, you just want to explore and you want to do this and want to do that. But be careful. Be careful. I've known young men that got a little bit too much zealousness over in the fleshly side, didn't guard over their homes and lost their wives. I could tell you another man that took his wife out in the world for a while and then he decided, man, this ain't working. I'm going to get back in church now. And his wife didn't come back with him. Went off into harlotry. That's what happens. Yeah, be careful. Well, I think this is permissible. Just remember, it's that little bit. You think it's permissible, and you take that little bit, and all of a sudden it grows just like a little seed. Oh, that's a little tiny. The Bible said the size of the grain of a mustard seed. Boy, that's a little so insignificant looking. But that little seed, when you plant it, it said it'll grow up big enough that the birds could even put a nest in. And those little tiny things that you make allowances for, and you think, that's okay, no big deal. And you make those allowances for that, and all of a sudden they start growing. And then all of a sudden something dear to you, something that you love, is gone and ripped away from you because of the little allowances. We got to be careful. We don't want to give place to those little things. The little insignificant things will all of a sudden have you. How many of you have heard the little thing about, you know, somebody said, well, how about if I give you, I'm going to give you either $100,000 or I'm going to give you a penny and double it every day for 30 days. Which one would you rather have? Some of you know the thing. But you see, the thing is this what we should be doing in the things of Lord? You got a little bit of faith, a little bit of understanding, a little bit of revelation. Take and be consistent with that and you'll see it strengthening and building and growing in the grace and knowledge of God. And pretty soon you'll be like the Rock of Gibraltar, they say. Boy, you're unmovable, amen, like Christ. Brother Pike had the vision of his brethren around him. He said all these wild stallions and wild horses, man, were running and trying to get to him. And he said the brotherhood, he saw in the vision, and he said they were muscular. He said you could see the blood veins sticking out on their legs and their strength, and he said you could see the muscles. And these were standing there shoulder to shoulder, and then wild stallions, he said, was just hitting them and bouncing off, couldn't affect. You see, that's where I want to be in the Lord. I don't want to be moved by every wind of doctrine. I don't want to be moved by every new little sect of things that come forth. I don't want to be moved by these old trends in the ministry. I don't want to be moved by this new age music and this gospel music and this Christian music, because Satan has climbed up into everything and he's infiltrating everywhere and everybody, and he's consistent and he's breaking you down and breaking you down and breaking you down and breaking you down. And the thing is, you know, when it comes to music, if you want to please the Lord, just worship the Lord. Trust the Lord. These kids are gifted and they go out here and listen to these whores and perverts and whoremongers in the professional music and want to pattern himself after them? Please don't lower yourself. These children in here are so gifted that they could be writing songs and putting music to these songs and bring the spirit of worship and praise and power. We don't need something new. Let me tell you, you go into some of these old-time hymn books, well, that's too old-fashioned. I'll tell you what, you could find a spirit of worship, man, testifying. Those people that wrote that wrote it because of the loss of blood, because of the loss of wives and children and husbands and things. And these songs, they meant something. But these pretty boys today, they sing, "Oh, Jesus, I love you," and it's some man whore and after some woman, and all he wants to do is get up there and project himself and look at me. Boy, I'm the singer. Man, look at me. And they got their little hair purdied up and they listen. And you know what? It's an absolute stench in the nostrils of God. And even that you would even sing their song shows that you're full of nothing but perversion and lust of the flesh. You know, and you say, "Brother Rob, come on. I'm telling you, you need to be paranoid about every time you turn on a radio. You need to be paranoid about every time you put one of them CDs in and listen to that stuff." Well, I'm not a paranoid person. Well, the Bible, what we started out reading up here, was about fear. Was it in here where I was reading that? I was reading about the fear of the Lord this morning. Amen. I have the fear of the Lord. Amen. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to grieve God. I didn't want to grieve my pastor. It would tear me up when I'd come around and I grieved him because of some action I was doing. He was a sensitive man. And it wasn't hit and miss. It's not profitable to grieve the man of God. You grieve the man of God, you're grieving God. So, what do we do? We need to be, again, consistent. Let's stand together. We need to be consistent in the ways of God, the things of God. We need to love the Lord with all of our heart. We need to praise Him, worship Him, love Him. I didn't speak to all of you this morning. I tried to, but I'm speaking to the sons of God. And the thing is, brothers and sisters, you should be able to have discernment of spirit and discern the mind and the things that you give place to and that you listen to. If you're not listening to your thoughts, listening to what your mind is saying, listening to what it's pressing you to do, your mind's talking to you all the time, all the time. I mean, I'm up here trying to speak to you a little bit. Your mind's saying, "Well, I wish you'd close. I'd like to go." Got your mind maybe on the restaurant, about what you're going to eat, where you're going to go. Might be wanting to go to the restroom. Might be wanting to do this. Or, "Well, got my mind on what I'm going to do tomorrow. Who's going to help me? How am I going to get it done?" And all your mind's going this and that and here and there, when we should be consistent to get before the Lord. You've got a mind that needs to be dealt with. And you are the one that can deal with that mind. The preacher's just up here to help you, to analyze it. To find out, why am I thinking this way? What brought that thought? Satan's the accuser of the brethren. Why am I thinking like this? Why is he accusing me? Why is he bringing these rallying allegations? Why is he bringing these thoughts in my mind? Why are they tormenting me? Why are they tormenting you? Why are they tormenting? You see, and we need to be able to change that and find the love of God and find the mind of Christ, the mind that thought it not robbery be equal with God, the mind that has charity, that thinketh no evil. How many of you can say you think no evil? Brother Rob, man, God help me. You see, Brother Rob doesn't have the capabilities of not thinking evil, but the mind of Christ does.
Amen.
So what am I going to have to do? I'm going to have to learn to exercise this mind. I'm going to have to learn to contend for the faith. I'm going to have to learn to press my way into the kingdom of God. I got to learn to quit letting this mind just have its free will to think any way it wants to think. The Bible again says to cast down. See, a perfectionist is thinking in the way to perfect. He's thinking in the way to better his job. If it's naturally speaking, he's going to think about, well, how can I do this better? And he wants to perfect in his applications and everything that he does. You see, a son of God, you say, "Well, I'm already perfect." I understand that. But the thing is you want to bring that perfect into a manifestation. And that's going to be through works. It's going to be through pressing. It's going to be through changing the way that you think. The Bible teaches a transformation of mind. And see, to come into the mind of Christ is going to be an effort on yourself to kill one mind out and transform the way you think into another mind. That's an action on your part. You could keep on being spiritual and tell me, "Oh, Jesus just gave me all this," and he did. But you're going to have to take, why did he give it to you? You know, if Pete comes up and says, "Hey, Brother Rob, I want to give you this. Here's a new tool." "Well, I got this tool, praise God. And I could come up here and testify, I got this new tool." But why did he give me a tool to use it? Why did God give you a mind to think in that mind? Why did God give you the gifts of God? For you could apply those things. Why did he give you the armor of God? For you could fight? Or for you could sit around and just polish on your sword all day? He gave it to you to utilize it. Woe unto you that hold that sword back from blood. If you got the spirit of the word of God, then you need to be using it. You need to be talking about the Lord, thinking of the things of the Lord, and continually speaking the word of God. Why do we have the armor of God? For we can polish it and say that I got it all shined up. It's for we can distinguish the fiery darts of the enemy. That's why we have a shield of faith. That's why we have this armor, brothers and sisters. We're in a continual warfare. Are you in R&R? Are you in rest and relaxation? If you are, and you're just all kicked back, and boy, ain't everything great, you're going to die and go to hell. If you got this just this easy-going life that everything's just so hunky-dory, you're just simply lost. Well, Brother Rob, I don't think Christianity is just Jesus himself. He was acquainted with grief and sorrow. Amen? Why? Because of this world was continually pressing to try to destroy him and to kill him. And if you're a son of God, that's what they're going to be doing to you. So, you know, you're charismatic bliss and, oh, I'm the apple of God's eye and I'm the Christian and I'm this and that. You're just lost. You need to take your Christianity seriously and realize that you are in a warfare, a continual warfare, and you're fighting against the principalities and powers of darkness on a daily basis, and they're perplexing your thoughts and your mind on an every moment of the day. And you've just got accustomed to it and used to it, and it doesn't offend you because you like it, because it's the way your flesh thinks. And we need to realize that we're in this continual fight. This isn't something you're going to come to hear about on Sunday. I could preach the same message in the morning. It's going to be the same tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Because Satan is consistent. And his mind is consistent. His world's consistent. And this world is that way. It's flesh. I know it's here for a moment. It'll be gone. But the thing is right now in this dispensation, he is consistent. He knows that being consistent works. And he'll keep on pursuing you and pursuing you and pursuing you until he takes your soul, until you'll realize that he's on a pursuit and you're going to turn around and kick the gates of hell down and you're going to be the one that is pressing. Amen. It ain't for you lukewarm bunch of sissified religious ways. You better get to realize that you're in a fight, and it's a good fight of faith, and that it's a travail, and it's a battle, and it's a continual thing. And you get out there in your rest and relaxation, kick back and cross your legs, the enemy's going to take your head off. Well, I believe in rest, Brother Rob. You know, I got the spirit of peace and rest. I have that when I'm walking with a sword in my hand and blood's dripping from it. I got peace and I got rest in the Lord. He gives me rest because this is a continual fight. It's not a rest of kicking back and talking about your rest. It's a continual fight, and you find strength and renewing your strength in him. This Christianity ain't some kind of, you know, bless God. This is what these modern day preachers have done. They've made it, oh, God's just going to give you and God's going to pour out and God's going to bless you and God's going to do that. God's going to pour out one thing to you and one thing only. It's the spirit of power and the spirit of strength, and he's going to give you the armor and the weapons of warfare. That's what he's going to give you, and you're going to stand up bold and strong, amen, and you're going to push against the adversary, the enemy. And if you're not fighting, it's because you're lost. If you're not in the battles, because you don't have his spirit, because Satan is continually against the spirit of God. They hated him first, they're going to hate you also. And when they hate you, what do they want to do? They want to kill you. And when they want to kill you, the only defense that you got, it's not the weapons of carnality, it's the weapon of spiritual warfare. You're going to take up the sword of the spirit, amen, and you're going to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. This is the way it is. This isn't hit and miss. It is the way it is. Thus saith the Lord, the way it's going to continue to stay. We're going to have to be persistent, consistent, and we're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. While you're on R&R, I'm going to be fighting against the enemy. While you're kicking back because you're so blessed of God, you're going to perish in your rest and relaxation. Amen. I find rest in the mind of Christ. I find rest when the enemy is pursuing me, trying to kill me. I find strength, amen. But he ain't going to let up. You understand that? Remember, you're in a warfare. You're a good soldier for Christ. You're keeping yourself unspotted from the world. Get your eyes off the world. Get your mind off the things of the world. Get your mind off of the pleasures. Get your mind off the dress and the things of this world and the things that make people, make you look better to other people. Get your mind off the cars. Get your mind off the businesses and get your mind off the, and get your things on God. If God gives you business that you can do more for God, then give the glory to God. Amen. And let your business be the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're doing it to pick you up for you could show yourself a somebody, it ain't going to work, amen. God will tear it down. That's why some people can't be blessed, because they want to take it to themselves. If they give the glory and the honor and the praise to the living God, amen, then they could find the blessings of God. So it's my consistency of preaching the gospel that I'm going to help you overcome him, amen. Because I got to be consistent with myself. Every day, I've got to conquer Brother Rob. Every day. You know, you think, well, man, if you keep him dead for so long, he's going to stay dead. No, he wants to get up every day. That's the Bible right. Didn't Amen. Say mortify him once in a while, every month. You know, every day.
Amen.
I need a resurrection every day. I need to kill one out every single day. Every day. Oh, I done great yesterday. Well, I want to do great today. I want to do great tomorrow. Amen. Pray for me. I need your prayers. I love you and I appreciate you. Thank you for coming to the house of God.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.